This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Booksplode Dragon Hoops.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they're dribbling up and down the court. Just like I was a king on the microphone, so was Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite place still is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go. This is basketball, I'm Mr. Curtis Blow.
Hello, welcome to iFanboy Booksplode Dragon Hoops. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I am here with Josh Flanagan.
I am Josh Flanagan.
Welcome to the Booksplode Show. This is the show unlocked by the patrons over at patreon.com/iFanboy, and they hit the mark, and we do our Booksplode Show every other month, and that's a show where we talk about a graphic novel or a trade paperback or an OGN or some other non-weekly comics format book, which is great because we don't really have a place to do that on the regular show. And this week we're talking, December, barely making it. This month we're talking about Dragon Hoops from Gene Liu and Yang, published by First Second Press, and it came out earlier this year, did it not? March, I believe.
Yeah, you tell me.
It came out in
March.
Was
it really that long ago?
Yes, it was.
Wow, I'm so ignorant.
446-page hardcover story from Gene Liu and Yang, the New York Times bestselling author and certified genius.
Official genius.
He's a MacArthur Genius Award winner. Gene Liu and Yang, I'm just saying, contact@fanboy.com is where you can go for PayPal.
He has four kids and he quit his day job.
Never mind, Gene. So. Stay away from that PayPal. So there's a lot to talk about here. Should we just start off and say this is our book of the year? This is iFanboy's book of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you had sent this to me because I was unaware of it completely. So it just arrived in the mail one day and Connor's like, you got to read this. And Connor knows me. In my reading taste, probably better than anybody else in the world. And I was, 20% into it. And I was like, I think this is the best book I've read, and I don't know how long.
It's important to note that Gene Liu and Yang is under the radar a bit, which is crazy, but because he's a mainstream author. When his books come out, the New York Times reviews them. If we go back and we look through our time reading his books, we have loved all of them. And we've reviewed all of them, from American Born Chinese to Boxers and Saints to... everything but Avatar, I think, we've talked about and loved, including last year's, which was probably our series of the year, Superman Smashes the Klan,
which
he did for DC. Yeah. So, similar to you, Josh, this book appeared in my apartment. I was like, wait, what? Because, you know, I'm just not up on graphic novel releases. And so, if I had known it was coming out, I would have got it, because literally... the year Boxers and Saints came out, that might have been my favorite book of that year, maybe. I don't remember. It was definitely up in the discussion. And American Born Chinese isn't sort of a modern classic. So this came out, and you look at the cover, and it's called Dragon Hoops. And there's an outline of Gene Liu and Yang's face, and I thought, well, that's interesting.
Oh, so Dragon Hoops. Some more Chinese stuff.
And then it kind of looks... You can't really tell what you're looking at. Like, it could be scales. I thought, well, is it a story about dragons?
Yeah.
And is that the dragon
I did.
Scales?
I figured there would be some sort of Chinese mythology mixed in with something or other, because that's his move. That's sort of fantasy stuff with semi-autobiographical stuff. I think what was fascinating because I paused there because I'm trying to figure out what words I want to use to describe it as a type of writing. And it's first-person autobiography, it's
documentary,
basketball documentary, and then historical documentary right. at the same time.
I learned a lot in this book.
I did too. And then mixed in there in a bit of it is a very strong thread that ties all of those things together. When you've got just a straight up Friday Night Lights, the book, not so much the TV show, with a Ken Burns history of basketball, with the story of this guy and his life and his career. And it's all wrapped together in this idea of taking a step and moving towards something.
And moving forward.
Yeah.
Not being afraid to move forward.
It's exceptionally positive. And I mean that in the sense, like, it's not positive and like, wow, this story turns out great and everybody wins and is happy in the end, which kind of does happen, but it's not the way. It's about the journey of the thing and the attitude during the journey, if I'm going to speak of it very grandly.
I read this book and I finished it and I couldn't put it down. I think I read it in like two settings. Yeah. It's almost 500 pages.
He said to me, what's funny is that when I started talking, he goes, yeah, well, I know it's a long book. It's almost 500 pages. And I was like, you needn't apologize for that, sir.
So
I was annoyed that it ended. It was like that.
I finished reading and I thought, well, this is like everything Josh loves. Besides the fact that he loves Gene Luen Yang, he's a great cartoonist and writer and everything. It's about basketball, which Josh sneakily loves from a historical perspective.
I was an actual basketball fan. He's about our age. So when he talks about like what was, you know, the popular basketball, this is the, you know, the early 90s, late 80s, you know, Bulls years, basically.
Right.
And I know that stuff.
It's a slice of life story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the story about a man struggling with his creativity. You know, the whole book, the underlying struggle for me was him struggling as an artist. Like, he has this story he decides he wants to tell. And it's very autobiographical. It's the most autobiographical we've seen from him, even.
It's actually, he'd said it was the only one.
Right.
I mean, like, the other books have elements of autobiography, but they're also fantasy stories at the same time. There's none of that here. This is...
It's a first-person story about him, and we're going to get into the plot in a second. It's a first-person story, and every once in a while, he's struggling. He talks to his wife. He talks to the camera. He doesn't know how he's going to tell the story. He's, you know, there's a lot of the inside the head of a creator in here, which I thought mm-hmm. was fascinating, which I knew you'd love. And then there's a whole point in the middle where he gets approached by DC to write Superman, so there's a whole bit about that. So in the midst of this basketball story and documentary aspect, the slice of life tale about all these kids at his school, we're also seeing how the creator works and how the struggle between family, job, and comics goes for him. And then his comics career starts taking off over the course of the time doing this, and that changes things. And then it's like, oh, but I can't write this bit. And there's a part in the story where he keeps putting off. It's like, oh, there's this character, and he says, well, I can't write about that. He keeps bringing it up. I can't write about that right now. Or that's not really important to the story. I don't know how I'm going to fit that in the story. And eventually, of course, you know, he has to deal with it because he keeps mentioning it, which he does. But I just love the aspect of seeing inside the head of this guy as he tries to put this really complicated story together. It's beautiful. Just from an art standpoint, the art's beautiful. But sure. The story itself is beautiful. It's heartwarming. It's uplifting. You love every character by the end of it. I loved the coach. The coach's character is great, but he's also very layered and interesting because the whole awkward bit we were talking about just a second ago. It's, yeah. It's a very interesting, interesting book on top of being really entertaining.
What's cool about that character, and I think that character is the, I hate saying this, he's the heart of the story in a way.
The coach, for sure.
Because he has hope. He keeps stepping forward. He keeps moving, and he doesn't always have a reason to. I mean, like, the story of it, you know, the first significant thing that happens in his life is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's very similar to, like, a plot of a bad sitcom where somebody failed at something in high school, except this person, who is a real person, did not have it define them in a negative way. But it's sort of always there at the same time. I really liked that as a thing.
So in the story at the time, Gene Luen Yang is the math teacher at Bishop O'Dowd High School in Oakland, California.
Computer science.
That's right. But he's also on the side, you know, making comics. And so the kids at the school know him as not only their teacher, but also the guy who makes comic books. So right away, I'm like, wow, is this an autobiography? Because again, I don't know what it's about. And then he's like struggling to find the subject of his next book. And he sort of stumbles into the gym and has a conversation with a coach who he's never had a conversation with before, because there's no crossover between his life and the coach's life.
Right.
And he discovers this really interesting story, just the coach's life story. And the team is one of the best teams in the country, the best high school basketball teams in the country.
Yeah, it's one of those private schools, and they get all the big recruits. and you know, become one of those sports powerhouses. You know, like there's football in Texas and there's basketball in New York and California, which is fascinating on its own, by the way, how that works. I've always wondered.
And Yang, who is at the time not at all a sports fan, doesn't know anything about basketball, decides he's going to tell the story.
If you're listening to this, it's not all of you, and it's not Connor, and it's only a little bit me, but some me. You know, there's comic book folk, you know, who are just like, I never got sports. I never got into it. I didn't understand it. You know, a lot of people who read comics can relate to that. But he finds a way into it through this, which, you know, I definitely had to a certain extent, but it spoke to me a lot in that
way. Well, he's the conduit because of this. When he starts out, he doesn't know anything about basketball. He's got to learn the game. That's where the documentary part comes in, why players are doing certain things. And then you get into the history of it and you get like where the sport came from and early pioneers in the game. And it's all woven through this story of this Bishop O'Dowd high school team in its final season with this particular group of kids as they try to finally win the state championship. It's the state championship or the country championship?
State.
I read this like months ago.
State.
You learn a lot. I know a lot more about basketball than I did going into this, and I've watched a lot of basketball. I don't want to scare anyone off who, like you said, doesn't like sports. It's not about the sports. Even though you learn a lot about the sports, it's not about the sports.
Yeah, I look at it like this, and I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but I don't like baseball. I can't watch it. I've been to games, you know, like Connor loves baseball and I get it. I'm not like it's stupid. I don't know anyone likes it, but I don't. But Ken Burns Baseball is my favorite Ken Burns doc. Mm-hmm. And so like if you can kind of get into that and fit into it, because I think part of the reason that sports doesn't do a lot for me is that I don't feel anything from it. And you can't really feel anything from it unless you're involved, unless there's some history or tradition of you sort of, or your family or whatever, being into a certain team, you know, or, you know, if you're in high school, you know the people on that team, those are your friends. So you have to have some kind of skin in the game.
Right.
And so when you know about the people involved playing the game and what the stakes are for them, you know, that is the thing that can grab me, I think.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if you are into basketball and sports, you'll get a lot out of it. But if you're not, it's also kind of made for you because that is the main character, Gene, the main character and the author. That's his position, too. He comes in this story knowing nothing about basketball.
And being skeptical about it. Not even knowing anything. It's just like, all right. But one of the things I think that is really interesting is that you're talking about the doubt of the author, or that, like, I feel like he was pretty far into this in terms of time, actual time, where he's like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Yeah, and that's part of the struggle, the creative
struggle. Yeah, I mean, and I can imagine that. You know, like, well, I'll just start doing that. It's like any of our lives. Like, oh, I seem to have a career now. I don't know if I wanted to do this, but here we are, you know, and it works the same for him in these chunks of books that he gives years of his life to.
It's chock full of interesting characters, the main players on the team you meet, and each one of them has a chapter devoted to them.
Yeah.
They do appear throughout the entire story, but they get a chapter sort of delving into their lives and history, and there's the kid from China. Mm-hmm. And everyone they play keeps thinking Gene's his dad, and the sort of casual racism he has to deal with. And the same, most of the team is black and Oakland's a very predominantly black city, but the places they're going to play are not. And so they have to deal with all those problems and the coach as well. You get a lot of social commentary.
Yeah. I was going to say that's sort of the, not the final layer, but it's really like the layer that's put on top of everything is at the same time you kind of can't get away from this social commentary and the idea of race. And there's one really interesting bit. It was a cartooning bit, but also a social bit is, oh God, I can't remember the Indian kid, the Punjab kid.
Right.
Sandeev. I think it's Sandeev. He comes and he talks to Gene about the way that he's being drawn. He's like, I don't like my hair like this. And he said, well, if I draw your hair like this, you kind of look like one of the black kids. And so they went back and forth until they found, and that's a real thing that happened. That was, mm-hmm. I checked, like it was 100%. And I just thought that's really interesting because you're talking about race, but you're using cartooning in the middle.
You're breaking the fourth wall to show, well, if I draw you like this, and we get to see how he draws him, and like it's all very interesting.
It's a really interesting thing where he's talking about race and he wants to be sensitive to it and aware of it because he's, you know, like the thing, like they think, oh, is that your kid or what do you do? You know, like all just the tiny bits of racism that happen all the time. And at the same time, he's like, I can't make this kid look black. And so he's got to think about a way to do a caricature of a person. That is fascinating to me, all the sort of pressure that's on top of that kind of stuff and the things that are on your mind and what those things all mean. Yeah, I was very into that part.
Yeah, it's very layered. You know, there's the kid from China. I remember at one point, like, when he would hit a three-point shot, he'd run back down the court, and the whole team would, like, bow to him on the bench. And Gene was like, isn't that racist? Aren't you offended? He's like, no. They like me. They're trying to accept me. And also, they're trying to understand. Like, I understand where it's coming from. It's not a bad thing they're doing, even if it's not exactly right. It's complex. It's not so easy. Mm-hmm. And also, just as a aside, if you're someone who loves the process of making comics and the artist's mind, the appendix was just beautiful. I mean, he goes through, and much like Alan Moore's From Hell, which is probably the best appendix I've ever read, he goes through each chapter and almost page by page and says where he got things from. This actually happened somewhere else, but I put it here because it's the flow of the story, or these two characters I had to mash together, or this didn't actually happen until later. And, you know, it's the thing that has to be done by someone who's creating a story from a real event. You have to sort of move things around and make it work. Front to back, package-wise, you can run your hand along the cover and it feels like a basketball. Like, it's...
It needs to be mentioned, like, this as an actual printed package, as an object, is a beautiful piece of bookmaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what you're talking about is you have multi-layers on just sort of the dust jacket itself. So you've got a textured surface, and then you have, you know, different spot varnishes. It, like, literally, it feels nice to rub your hand over. And that's just, you know, the dust jacket or whatever. Then you've got the whole sort of, actually, the linen on the inside is foil embossed too, which looks great. And then you have those contrasting colors of the blue and the orange, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of evoke the basketball team. And then just the printing on it and the paper, like, it's just a lovely, really nice package. The way that it works with the colors specifically, I think, is
it's beautiful. It's not perfect. It's not glossy. It's matte.
Yep.
It looks gorgeous. And this is some of the best cartooning he's done.
Yep.
He's a cartoonist. He's a great cartoonist.
And it really is. It's so far out of what he's done before. I mean, mm-hmm. like, he really has not done nonfiction like this at all. You know, like, boy, did it work.
He should do more of it if he comes across the story, because it really inspired a really beautiful story that tells all kinds of interesting things. I'm looking at one of the pages now where he's struggling with the pie chart of time, you know, like mm-hmm. comics, family, school, and how that affects everything. It's just every time you get to a new chapter, I'd be like, well, what? Now we're doing what? Now I'm learning about the guy who started basketball and how that happened. And then the first, you know, it was the women who played. The Women's League and the Harlem Globetrotters. It's just, there's a lot to really enjoy here. And like you said, this was the best single volume book, new thing that I've read in a long time. Mm-hmm. I had to get it to you because I was like, Josh Dienster, this is the best thing I've read in a while. And this is the kind of thing that will sort of renew your love for the medium.
You need those every once in a while.
Yeah. You need to be reminded, oh, right, this can be done in this medium that we love. This kind of really interesting and new and fun mm-hmm. and invigorating story.
Yeah. I hanker for a story that doesn't have crossover high concept appeal, mm-hmm. meaning that it isn't like there's a gorilla and a robot and two zombies.
At no point is there a gorilla in this book.
Yeah. No, it's just people and stories and our world and culture, and it gives you, it's so personal. It gives you so many things to think about, and it's this honest portrayal of humans, you know, mm-hmm. while respecting them and making it interesting, because there's nothing more interesting than people. It's just not. And so you can put all the overlay of everything on, you know, but take the story about people and make, you know, put it in sports as a bigger context, and then look at where that context comes from. And I mean, God, it seems so effortless in sort of terms of structure and all these things melding together. It's like an episode of Seinfeld, you know, like, it's just, none of these things, it should not work together. It should be a mess, especially for a guy who has not done a book like this. Now he's a genius. So,
so it was probably no big deal.
Yeah, I guess for geniuses. That's
just another Saturday for a genius.
Yeah.
It should have been said before, but it's now to the point now when a new Gene Luen Yang book comes out, it's like going to be an event for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was before. I've always, you know, again, going back to when we read American Born Chinese, and then when Boxers and Saints came out, and then his single issue work, which was always solid, and then last year's Superman Smashes the Klan, which I think everyone needs to pick up and read. It's one of the Superman stories in years. And now this, like, the back-to-back of Superman and this was really strong for him. I would say in the last 12 calendar months, which I guess would be the last year, but the last, like, 18 months, it's been all about Gene Luen Yang doing some of the best comic work from anybody making comics at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're ready to give it a fanboy stamp of approval. We used to, In the old days of the video show and the website, we used to have our books of the month. And at the end of the year, we would take all the books of the month and we would decide which of those was the book of the year. And I think this is a very easy call to make, as we've made it before, is that Dragon Hoops from Gene Luniang and First Second Press is the book of the year, hands down, no contest.
There was hardly ever a contest, by the way. No, like really, like the winner of that every time, it was always just like we'd be like, yeah, that's the one. And there wouldn't be much to it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really great when these things come out, you know, you're not expecting them, you're not waiting for them. They just all of a sudden they show up and they just blow your socks off. Mm-hmm. That's when it's the best reading comics, is when there's something just totally sneaks up on you. That's why we still do it. People ask us all the time, why are you guys still doing this after 15 years, 20 years? Because every once in a while a book comes along like this and just knocks your socks off.
Yeah, and you know, if you're us, or if you've been listening for a really long time and you've got the experience or the wherewithal or the sort of enjoyment of the medium to be able to appreciate what it is about those things, they stand out all the more. You know, like, and I just, the experience of us doing this and talking to people and talking to each other about comics, and then when something is great, all of a sudden you can, it shines like a beacon. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can just, oh, this is a special thing. There's nothing like that feeling.
Now, someone who stumbled on this show, Josh, who is interested in this book or Gene Luniang, may not know that you talked to him last month, mm-hmm. 2 months ago. Yeah. 2 months ago.
It'll be it would have been the September Talksplode, but it came out right at the beginning of October.
Our sister show to the Booksplode is the Talksplode show, where Josh interviews a creator and he interviewed Gene Luniang. Can you give any insights to the people who might be interested to check that out, what they might learn about the creation of this book if they go check out your Talksplode with Gene Luniang?
I mean, I think that a lot of what is in the book is, it's true. He obviously did the appendices, but you sort of are following him through this time in his life where he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do next. And so he decides on this thing that is very unlike him. And you watch him go through that. In the middle of it, he gets an opportunity to go do something else. And he has to change everything. You know, a lot like these kids playing basketball, they have to make a decision and move forward. It's this idea that there's a self-doubt, but you have to sort of move forward and it might turn out pretty good. And I feel like he lived that, and that sort of all happened.
And you talked about that in the interview.
Yeah, totally. The best part of that interview, by the way, is at the very end where we talk about the MacArthur Genius Retreat. You should listen to that part.
So check out our Talksplode interview with Gene Luniang. You can find that at fanboy.com. And in this show, obviously, you're checking out right now. And, you know, it's nice. People often talk about the monthly, weekly grind of reading comics. Where are the new voices? And Gene Luniang's not a new voice. He's been making comics for a while. But I feel like he's having his moment.
It's almost like he's having a sustained moment. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a sustained moment.
This is another peak.
I don't mean right now. I mean like in general, the last sort of, you know, year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's been around. He's very well respected. He's been around for a long time. Yeah, in fact, if you go back, I just was looking at one of our old video shows from the convention, and we interviewed him there. I don't remember what it was about, what it was for. It was probably American Born Chinese.
It was American Born Chinese, and I didn't know what I was doing yet, so I don't count that.
So he's been around a while, but I think as someone who's sort of bubbling to the top, he's sort of in that zone right now.
Yeah.
And what's great is there's a lot of space now for these kind of guys. I would say like a Judd Winnick, who's doing it over in the, you know, the younger kids side.
Yeah.
And living in that world.
The High-Low books.
And Eliopoulos and Brad Meltz are doing their kids' books. There's a lot of places now for people who made their names, and necessarily Gene Yang made his name in monthly comics, but who sort of did their stuff, but are now following their muse into the more cartoonist side, and they have, you know, places to do that, and they're doing very well. And it's nice to see that they can do that.
The book market, man.
Well, the book market is where it's at, but it's nice to see these guys who came up as cartoonists are getting to, you know, to do their stuff and do well with it, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We all need that tonic from the monthly grind, which is great. We love the monthly grind, but every once in a while, you need a Mysterious Polyp to come out, you need a Parker to come out, you need a Dragon Hoops to remind you that things can be done at the medium that are not always, you know, expected,
mm-hmm.
which I think is great. So, Dragon Hoops, Gene Luniang, First Second Press, 446 pages, book of the year. Do we have to even ask what the ratings is?
5.
5 out of 5.
There it is.
And we'll be looking forward to his next project. Did you talk about what his next project was on the interview?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he just started Shang-Chi. That was his next project.
Oh, right. He's the writer of Shang-Chi from Marvel Comics right now.
Yep. He came out like the day I was talking to him, and I had not known. So that was the thing. And I was like, I didn't know much about Shang-Chi. And he was like, me neither. And I was like, okay.
It's a another long line of awkward creator moments between iFanboy and them.
Those help a lot.
All right. So this was our final Booksplode of the year. Go to patreon.com/iFanboy. That's what unlocked the Booksplode. If you want to help support the iFanboy shows, the various shows we do. So this is the final show. We'll sort of go through them all. So we have, so Josh and I have our weekly pick of the week show, which we talk about the week's comics in the in that weekly monthly grind, which we love so much. And then every other month, we have the Talksplode Booksplode combo, where either Josh interviews somebody or we talk about a book. And then we also have other shows. We do the animated Brain Trust shows. We talk about the DC animated original series, and every once in a while, something random. We have our Media Splode show, which was unlocked by the patrons over at patreon.com, in which Josh and I and Ron Richards, our original co-hosts, talk about media outside of comics once a month. And what else do we have? Is that it for shows? It's a lot.
I mean, there's a special edition sometimes, but there's not movies.
When the movies come out again, the special editions will return. There's all kinds of things happening over at ifanboy.com in terms of podcasts, and you can support that again at patreon.com/ifanboy. We thank everyone who does that, keeps the show going as we wrap up the year. You keep the content flowing for everyone, and we thank you for that. And who knows what will be the next Booksplode? We haven't even talked about it yet. We're taking a break, and then we'll figure it out next year. And until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. To the hoop, y'all. It's basketball. Tell me, were you in the joint? The Knicks will score 100 points. And when the Celtics won, titles back-to-back, they didn't give nobody no got slack. And when Dr. J shook the whole team with moves that came right out of a dream of win. Will the streets just so tall? Man, deep with his ideas, basketball.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.